What up, everybody? This is episode 2 of our Nozcast. With me, I've got my beautiful wife, the panda, who's rolling her eyes in the background ever so playfully. Say hi to the beautiful people.
Hello.
We've got Titus.
Hey.
The Drewster.
Yo, yo.
And the Mark and Jupy.
Yo.
How's everyone's weeks been?
Long.
Yeah, I feel that.
pretty much. Lots of work, lots of stuff.
Yeah. Really.
Oh, my hair.
Yeah, that is, I could not deal with that. Because mine is sort of like yours, where it just kind of goes out. It just does whatever it was.
Hey, I think it looks cool.
Mine just like self-styles itself for whatever reason. I just wake up and it's like this weird.
Mine's kind of the same. Granted, I was on a boat today, so my hair is a little like saltwatery kind of like grossness with that. But
the thing about 8 inches of my hair, it only comes down to about here now.
Yeah, the thing about when you're growing your hair long is that you get that awkward phase where you kind of look like. Because first of all, first your hair's, you know, regular, then it's kind of long, then it's like, okay, buddy, you need a haircut now. Then it becomes more like, oh, I see. Oh, you're growing it long. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Right?
So now I'm kind of stuck in a little bit between the, okay, buddy, get a haircut, you hippie, and to like, oh, okay, you're growing your hair long. So it's kind of self-styling now.
He's doing this on purpose. Oh.
Well, Mark and Jupy, you have a couple extra things to talk about this session. So I think we're going to start, since Drew is here, let's start with comic books.
Okay. Well, this time, this is Jupy's choice. We went for something a little different from the mainstream. So we will be going, it'll be random. Sometimes we'll be talking about what's happening now, like the Batman one that was kind of current. Sometimes we'll pick more independent things, like this issue here. And maybe sometimes we'll go back in time and review, like, you know, old 90s comics and things. So, you know, just random stuff. So what did you choose for us now, Jupes?
All right. So this is called Helena Windhorn from Dark Horse Comics. So before I get into this, what do you guys think just by looking at the cover? What do you think this kind of series could be?
Sherlock Holmes.
Okay. Yeah, Sherlock Holmes there. Okay. Anyone else?
That looks vampire-esque.
Okay, vampires.
There's a castle in the background.
It looks paranormal to me, like ghosts and stuff.
Oh, paranormal. Interesting.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, I do see that.
All right. Okay, so.
Drew, anything?
Yeah, any ideas, Drew? I think Drew is frozen now.
No, he's frozen. Up and down. He's frozen.
I think he's focused on the pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza.
But anyways,
low bandwidth.
Oh,
I didn't order the pizza yet.
Oh, okay.
Yet.
So what do you think this could be like? What it could include?
I just saw you pull the book up and you like started talking about it. And I was like, ooh, and then all three of you froze, which means my internet is kind of lagging.
But, oh, don't worry.
Yeah, I didn't really hear any description of what it was or anything.
Oh, I didn't do one yet. I want to know what you think it could be about before I get into it.
Well, it looks like a comic book. I'm not quite sure what it's about. There's a castle in the background, I think. So yeah. I would imagine that she's like going to try and either be a princess or something along that matters, maybe vampires of some sort.
Okay, those are all pretty good guesses. You're not, it's like you're kind of close, but not close at the same time. But it's pretty cool. So the story is about a girl here, this girl named, her name is Helen. But the story starts in the present day, which happens to, the present day for this series just happens to be in the mid-90s. And there's an old woman being interviewed about her time as a governess working in this place that you see in the background, which is an estate. Now, she was the governess to this main character here. Now, She gets the girl, go back to the estate, and there's a lot of weird things that are going on at the estate. And we're just, like weird happenings, like what else could you say about
It
it?
was just the thing that was outside. Well, basically what's
Yeah.
going on is yeah, it's kind of like if you guys see Titanic, that same thing. It's like the old lady telling her story. It's kind of like that, like Goop said. So I think her name was Lilith. Lilith was in
Little
charge
Eckleton.
of Helen. Helen's like this teenage girl is just doing whatever. And
Teenage though, because if you look at her, I still say she's probably a young adult, maybe in her 20s or something, but they never actually say what her
I
age
thought she was
is.
16 or something. I don't know.
Well, I don't think so, because she was able to drink and smoke.
But she wasn't supposed to.
No, but it looks bad because the story takes place in the past between 1935 and 1941. As a general sense, it looks bad for women to smoke, period, back then, regardless if you were of age or not.
Well, they kept like touching in on that. When I read it, they kept touching in like, "Are you too young to be doing that? Are you too young to be doing that?" Like, I don't know. But anyways, her dad died, and she was like in prison. I guess that's where Lilith finds her and takes her to the estate and everything. And this girl just smokes and drinks to the point of just, being passed out drunk. And at least for now, because it's all new to her, the butler introduces them to all the 700,000 whatever rooms this place has. And all she cares about is the room that has all the liquor. And she's all, dude, she grabs a bottle of the liquor and just breaks it and drinks it straight up till she passes out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know. But yeah, there's weird creatures and stuff half outside the mansion. So that's part of the mystery. Like why they're there, what happened.
Yeah, and the main thing here is that Lilith, who I said was the governess, had to get her and take her back to the state after her father died. We don't know. We know Howard, her father, died, but the circumstances surrounding it hasn't been revealed yet. And this estate belongs to her grandfather, who's away at the time. So the thing that's weird is that it seems like Helen, this girl here, it just seems like she's never actually been to this estate before, because of the
No.
way she acted. Like, so maybe she never visited her grandfather, and all of a sudden her father dies, who happens to be a writer, and she goes back to this, forced back to this estate. Now, while she's here, she keeps talking about having nightmare. No, she keeps saying that she's seeing monsters. So everyone is just chalking it up to her having night terrors or just, really bad dreams. But towards the end, the governess Lilith, she actually sees what Helen sees, but the monster is defeated by someone very unexpected. But we aren't going to spoil that. And we just, then that's when you go back to the present. She's like, "Yeah, that's when things really started." And then it goes into the next issue, which we do not have.
Yeah, and the kid that was interviewing her was kind of like, I forgot how he phrased it, but it was kind of like okay, but what really happened, with the monsters and stuff? That's like the made up stuff, right? And she said, no, it happened. It actually happened. They do exist. So it's kind of like,
Ooh.
yeah. So right now it's a 6-issue miniseries. Issue 3 is coming out soon, but the
Which I
thing
have.
that, yep. Well, the thing that got us is that for some reason, maybe they had limited print copies, or they just maybe underestimated how popular this series would become. Issue 2 is hard to find. It is sold out in every
Really?
comic book store. I checked Amazon and eBay. Hipcomic usually has all the things. I eventually tracked it down to this site called I Want More Comics and Games or something like that. It's stationed in Colorado, I think. And that's what I finally found. A second, like issue 2, but everywhere else, even if you go to, this is a Dark Horse comic, even if you go to darkhorsecomics.com itself, it's sold out, not available for either for print or anything. It's just,
Yeah, and issue two just came out this past April, and it's
oh,
already
wow.
so it is and it's hard to find a copy of issue two.
Yeah.
Doesn't Dark
Issue
Horse
three.
Comics have an app as
Oh,
well?
sorry.
Sorry. Does Dark Horse Comics have an app as well?
Yeah. But I mean, we prefer, holding it in our hand. But
Physically,
yeah, because
yeah.
they do have, I did find it on both that and Amazon. They do sell like the Kindle copies, but we want the
The physical.
physicality of it. Yeah.
Yeah, digital copies are only ones that are allowed. And also, too, when the first issue came out, this sold out a lot. This sold out really fast, too. So they did reprints of this one.
Yeah, I guess it's like very popular. It's very You know,
Yeah, but issue one got reprints, and issue two is like backlog, back orders, all sorts of stuff. But issue three just came out, which I got my copy of. I say, well, if issue one and two sold out in the way that it did, might as well get issue three before that's a mystery to find. So the main story here is that we're trying to figure out the mystery of what are these creatures, what are these monsters, the mystery behind the estate. What actually happened there, and how Helen is connected to it, and how it's connected to her dead father and her grandfather, because it has something to do with their family line.
So is it more so like spiritual, like kind of ghosty of things, or more so like eldritch horror, like Lovecraft?
Probably kind of like both. Because the thing is, right now, we just saw the monster, so it's still too soon to tell.
Yeah.
Because those are just like a giant beast type thing, so it's too hard to tell if it's like, you know, if it's a spiritual thing, an actual physical creature, or what. It's the hard part to determine. Because this was like, it happened real, like, final pages of the story and everything. But it seems to be tied to her nightmares. And I noticed that when Helen ran to Lilith, she was like crying and apologizing, like, it's her fault. I brought it here. It followed me. So that's also the mystery. Like, how is this thing, like, attached to her in some way?
Hmm.
This is a lovable little guy here. That
it's beautiful.
I just want to pet it.
I just want it as a pet.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, but you can go ahead and pet it. You just might not get your hand back.
Good puppy.
Yeah. But the worst part is it might eat all of Drew's pizza. That's something that Drew would not stand for.
So like I said, we're looking forward to reading issue two so you can figure out what happens next with these, you know, this whole setup, how she's connected to it, why she made the statement like she brought it here. So it's like a fantasy mystery type thing.
Yeah. And also Helen kind of came off as she does whatever the fuck she wants to do, kind of brat. So I'm assuming that as the series progresses, you'll probably learn more about her, find out why she's like that, you know, care more about her character, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about the second part, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, we would actually do that. It took us so long to because we spent almost most of the weekend trying to track it down and went to different comic book stores or whatever. So maybe when we finally get it, we'll do it a thing next time or something.
Yeah, we could catch up on it.
I guess this is a good question to ask you guys, because like maybe other people want to read it too. Is there a place to like read comics online where you don't have to buy them?
Well, there is, like you said, like, maybe go to Dark Horse's site, and it could be, like, a digital copy
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, if you go to darkhorse.com, they got digital copies there of one and two and whatever.
Is
and
it about also, the same price, free, more?
I think they still charge you $4.99 for that, but at Amazon, I've seen it for $2.99.
But it's not any more expensive.
Yeah, it's around that, because most of the days, unfortunately, you know, the days of comic books costing 65 cents are... long behind. The average comic book nowadays costs anywhere between $3.99 to $4.99.
Yeah, the other
but it's not. That's good. At least it's not more expensive on the web than it is, you know, in paper.
Yeah. That's also still decently cheap, because I mean, other than talking about inflation, because that's also partly what it is. I mean, granted, I haven't really been to a comic store and actually bought comics, especially any like new ones recently at all. But even then, like, I, in my mind, it's like, okay, oh, everything's so expensive. If I want to get a comic book, it's like 15, 20 bucks per.
Can we take that?
Oh.
Like, that's what I thought in my head. But so it's kind of nice to hear the fact that, like, oh, yeah, you know, it's still, you know, $5, four, three, whatever. It's still, like, decently, yeah. like, inexpensive.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like the more expensive ones, if they're, like, just bigger issues in general.
Yeah, sometimes you'll get, like, death of character or interest of some character that's supposed to be big. And the issue might be double size, so that one might cost like $6.99, $7.99, but the usual price is $4 to $5 nowadays.
Yeah. Like I forgot how much
regular floppy comics that aren't like oversized or hologram covers.
Yeah, hardcover. Yeah.
I might have to steal one.
And also the way we got this one is that back on May 4th was on Free Comic Book Day. And they had the our comic shop, they had like a certain thing where each week they were doing a different theme and they were selling like a packet of stuff. So like this one was I saw fantasy sci-fi, so I just wanted to bought the whole pack, you know, just had a whole bunch of comics. It was like for like 10 bucks or something. And this was included with it. And I was kind of interested. So I read it and I was like, oh, saying, where's issue two? We don't have issue two, you know? And
that's right. Awesome. I might, I don't know. That's another thing that I have to buy. But I really want to get into comic books. I just wish there was like a free website to like watch them on, or watch them, read them on. You know what I mean? Like, especially the older ones, like, I don't want to pay. Because like me, I'm going to want to go ham. Like, with my ADHD, I'm like one of those people that like, if I start something, I want to keep going. So if I buy one comic book, I'm going to want to read the whole dang series.
And just that's super hyper like, fixate.
Yeah, it's going to be like $50 out of my pocket because I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to read this one and then this one and then this one and then this one.
And then forget about it in like 2 weeks.
This is why I can't do DC and Marvel stuff. It's just too much. But if you go like to something more indie and you just start from the beginning, it's easier to collect and keep up with it.
See, and I'd be like, the first thing I want to read is Deadpool. Because like, Deadpool is my favorite character, like out of everything, anywhere. So I'd be like, give me all the Deadpool comics, every single one of them.
Yeah. Well, Marvel.com and DC.com, they got their mobile things. It's like a subscription, I think. You pay like maybe $5 or so a month, and you know, while you're subscribed, you can just go through the whole backlog if you want to do it that way. It's just for me, I mean, me personally being, you know, the OG style, you know, I just don't want to be flipping through my phone reading the pages that way or on a Kindle. I want the thingy, you know, in my hand. You know?
I have a Nook, and I have the Nook app and the Kindle app on my iPad.
Mm-hmm. That's just too new and stuff for me.
Yeah, for me traveling to Japan and stuff, that just made things easier for me since I didn't have to carry, you know, the extra books and things.
Yeah, it's just extra weight that you have to worry about to get on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
even though it's comic books, but I mean you only stack up so much. I mean it adds up.
Yeah, so the comic I've been getting lately, of not counting the modern day stuff, is I've been trying to collect the full Power Girl run from I think it was 2011 or around that time, 2010, 2011, her run, they got cut short because of New 52 and everything. And I got almost all of them. So I'm slowly tracking them down, either online or comic book shops. You know, we had a cool comic book shop called, I think it was called Stories. Was that one where I found like a couple extra ones? Of course, I hit Ben Wookie and Comic World for those too and all that. So I'm getting them. And I've also started collecting my old Batman comics from the 90s, the ones I grew up with. Like it was like issue 144 around that era was the stuff I was reading before I left Chicago and stuff. It was a little bit before Bane got introduced and when Tim Drake was still just learning to be Robin. But there was a part where he was with Bruce in the Batcave, but he wasn't going to be Robin just yet. So there were stories of him learning and stuff while, of course, Batman was doing Batman stuff, you know. So that whole era, I want to try to find it little by little.
That's what makes Tim Drake's character interesting.
Yeah. But anyways, I'll leave the floor to you guys as we move on to other things. Are there any thoughts you guys want to throw out there?
I throw out my thoughts. Does anyone else have any thoughts?
No, not really.
All right. In that case, we're going to...
I did want to add that I can see the appeal of having them in hand rather than digital. That's about it.
I know. I mean, the only thing that kind of bites about digital is... I mean, the advantage, of course, is the storage space, because obviously if all the comic books were online, like I would have, I guess, have my whole collection online. But the thing is, I don't think there's a way to really buy them, isn't it? Like, it's like a subscription. I mean, if you like not subscribe for a month,
you don't really want the digital one because it's not quite the same. I feel you.
Yeah, if you don't subscribe for a month, your collection goes poof. If, like, let's say Comixology or something goes out of business tomorrow, whoop, there's all my collection. You can
probably download some digital copies, just not in the proper way, like Yar. I have done back in the past, which I learned my lesson. I will not be downloading manga and comics and all that stuff from that time period.
Yar, me mateys, it's time to find the Batman and Spawn and Deadpool out in the seven seas.
One thing I did want to add was, you know, you talking about, of course, you want to have the physical thing in your hand, was I remember it was from, I don't, I don't remember if it was from like a convention or a movie or anything like that, but Stanley had mentioned that someone had asked him like, "Hey, you know, like as technology kind of goes on, like where do you like do you would you prefer to have the comic book in hand, or would you like, you know, do it on like digital online or anything like that?" And he said, "Well, comic books are like breasts. They're nice on a screen, but I'd rather have them in hand."
See, this is why we like Stan Lee. That
I
is
was
a
like, that's good shit.
Excelsior. Oh God, imagine the girl. What are you doing? I'm just making sure you're a true believer. Oh God. Enough said. Oh God.
Headache.
Okay, yeah, next topic. Oh. That's why we love Stan Lee. He respects the boobies.
Oh, it's you.
And this is why the podcast is not for kids. Sorry, children.
I got it. That makes no sense.
Gotcha. All righty. So before we continue with the pre-planned ideas, I did want to go around and talk about something in specific, which was things that we're looking forward to in the future. Because, you know, we always look forward to certain movies, games, anything nerdum. Okay. So this is something I've been looking forward to. This is a new board game by Rove. Not by Rove, that's called Rove, by Addicts Games. And I've been keeping my eye on it. I've only pledged at the $1 selection for now. But the amount of stuff that comes in this board game is phenomenal. The artwork is absolutely amazing. They got standees. They've got, like, look at this artwork here. This is the board, it looks like, or maybe part of the story. I'm not even, they've got stickers for, like, the things that you do in the game, it looks like. Like I said, I've just kind of passed through this, read a couple of things. They're making setup super easy for the board game, and it's just kind of something that I'm looking forward to. There's a lot in here, and it's not expensive at all. Like, this looks expensive from, like, someone that's never played a board game before or hasn't bought a lot of board games, but that's actually a pretty good price for everything that's included in the game. And I just kind of wanted to show it off because it's definitely something that I think people should look into. I'm hoping that, you know, I can get a copy, you know, pledge it to a higher level and try it out at some point, because it looks great. The gameplay looks pretty cool. I love this bag and the miniatures that they have for it. But yeah, just something I wanted to share and something that I wanted to, you know, have you guys look at, and maybe part of the podcast. But yeah, check out Rove by Addicts Games on Kickstarter if you're, like, listening to this on the podcast version, because it looks amazing. It really does. Panda. It is now your turn. What is something that you are looking forward to?
Oh, I need to get up. I am looking forward to playing Dragon Age.
Four, technically.
I forget the.
Veilguard,
Yeah, Veilguard. Thank you.
or maybe it's Dreadwolf, something like
It's not
that.
Dreadwolf anymore. It was Dreadwolf, and then they changed the name of it to Veilguard.
Yeah.
But when I saw, like, I already knew I wanted it, but then I watched the trailer for it, and I looked at him and I was like,
She
"Let me
already
save
knows.
money because I'm getting that on the day it drops. Like, I'm getting it on day one."
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your Dragon Age queen. She knows everything and loves Dragon Age. So if anyone has any questions or comments about Dragon Age, she's the person to go to. She lives on Dragon Age. I think she's completed each game like 15 times each.
I'm playing the third one again for, like, the 15th time right now.
I'm like, okay, I love games, but I don't know if I've played any of them that many times.
You don't know how to live.
Oh.
I don't have that much time anymore.
I played Origins, but there's a lot of lore in there. I was just playing Origins earlier today, and I was doing a second profile where I was playing the Templar side instead of the Mage side.
That is definitely a game that we're going to have to put on the show at some point. I don't want to delve too deep into it, but...
I just wanted to say, like, the only thing that I really hate about the games, like, overall, is in the second one, you have the chance to become the Viscount of the whole city. Like, you become basically the king of the city, but only if you side with the Templars.
Gotta choose the Templars.
Nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants to do that.
This is true.
Ain't nobody want to do that.
Nobody want no freaking Templars.
I was curious about it because every time I played, I would go up to people and be like, why don't I become the Viscount? And they're like, ha, you're funny. And I'm like, what's happening to me?
Yes, pick the violent army over the people just trying to live. Are you sure you don't want to pick the Red Templars over there?
What if we add in an achievement that you can only get if you become Viscount, which you can only do if you support the Templars?
So 10 out of 10, excited for the Dragon Age 4, technically?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of stuff I'm looking forward to.
Coming this fall.
So first of all, I'm sure most of us here are excited about Wolverine and Deadpool, or Deadpool, Wolverine, whatever.
Deadpool 3.
Yeah. Yep, there we go. But when it comes to video games, mostly fighting games, there's a lot of stuff that I'm excited about. First of all, they announced the second year of Street Fighter 6 DLC. And actually next week or so, we got Bison coming back with Amnesia and forgetting what he is and everything.
Really?
Very interesting. But we also have coming down along the year, so we got Elena coming back, finally a character from Street Fighter 3. A lot of people have been complaining that Street Fighter 6, like, no one from Street Fighter 3 has appeared, so now we got Elena. But of course...
That's right. I forgot, yeah.
Yeah. But the big deal is that Terry Bogard and Mai Shiranui from Fatal Fury and King of Fighters, by extension, are going to be appearing as guest characters in Street Fighter 6. And that's the first time that Street Fighter in general, not the other Capcom games, I mean just Street Fighter, is the first time they've ever had cameo characters that are not from Capcom. Because, of course, they got the Final Fight characters, and they had Akira from Rival Schools and Street Fighter 5, but they're Capcom properties. This is the first time we're going to have non-Capcom characters in the Street Fighter game as actual selectable characters and stuff like that. So that's awesome. And
that's actually super exciting.
Yeah. On top of that, we thought that King of Fighters 15 was dead because now SNK is shifting all their focus to the upcoming Fatal Fury City of Wolves, a brand new sequel for Fatal Fury, the newest Fatal Fury game, first time in like almost a decade or so, I don't know, lots of years. It's coming out early next year and also for the PS4. So for people that haven't yet gone to PS5, it's also going to be in a PS4. I was actually pretty surprised. But the thing is, they just announced that they are going to have another couple of characters left for King of Fighters 15. There's more DLC to look forward to. But the thing is, the guy also announced a special character that will be revealed for EVO this year. And we're not sure yet, but a lot of people are saying that due to the speculation, you know, due to how Capcom is allowing Terry and Mai in Street Fighter 6, what if we see like Chun-Li or Juri or someone from Street Fighter in King of Fighters 15? That'd be fucking badass. Like, who knows? And then we're open to it because their Samurai Showdown game had like Baiken from Guilty Gear. So they're, as a case, a bit more crossover friendly than Capcom is. So who knows? And then the biggest news for retro fans, I'm not sure if you guys have been a fan of the series, Capcom is finally announcing a collection of the entire X-Men / Marvel / Versus series. And some of these games have either not been on many consoles or just like, you know, those hard to get forgotten consoles like the Dreamcast and the Saturn and stuff like that. Or they've only come to American consoles, but ported very badly because it was during the PS1 era where they couldn't handle the character switching, you know, mid battle and stuff like that.
But I prefer the Saturn would be able to handle that.
They needed a special RAM adapter to make it work.
Even for Saturn?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyways, so this collection is going to include X-Men, Children of the Atom, Marvel Super Heroes, X-Men versus Street Fighter, which is very hard to find anywhere. Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, I don't even know if that one even had a proper console version, to be honest. Marvel versus Capcom, Marvel versus Capcom 2, and also to celebrate the fact that this is the first time that Capcom ever did a collab with Marvel back in the day, the old Punisher two-player beat-em-up game. Because that was like the first time they had like a license to use Marvel. So all those games, one big collection, no date yet. It just said, you know, coming soon in 2024. But like any retro fan, anyone that's played at least, at the very least, X-Men versus Street Fighter should be excited about this. Because some of these games are just lost of time. They're delisted. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for the PS2 probably costs like over $1,000 or some crazy shit if you happen to have it, which, by the way, I did find a copy. But yeah, it's big news for retro fans, man.
Oh.
And that's what I'm most excited about, like for the time being.
I guess for me, what I'm looking forward to is issue 2 of this series. So I can finally read issue number 3. All right, so with Helen, so I'm looking for issue 2. I'm looking forward to issue 2 of this. I'm also looking forward to the rest of this series. It's called Forgotten Runes Wizards Cult, so it has another fantasy element to it because wizards and magic. And in issue 2, they're actually playing a board game that made you think of Dungeons and Dragons, but who knows. But anyway, I'm looking forward to being able to collect all of this series because issue 5 should be coming out later on, coming out soon, but I've only read the first 2. And that's all I can think of currently that I'm really, really looking forward to. I would like to read more of that, and then I can share that here for the comic section, at least the first issue. I don't think Titus got around to saying what he wanted to, looking
for. Not yet. You know, not yet, no. I was actually looking up, like, what the fuck am I looking forward to? So for games specifically, because I had to look it up because I had to remind myself of like what is actually coming. I know Nintendo just did their Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to The Legend of Zelda, The Echoes of Wisdom. Because I played, I forget which one it's the sequel to, but I played that for like a decent bit. I didn't finish it, unfortunately. But I love that, and I actually preferred it over Breath of the Wild. And I haven't played Tears of the Kingdom, but I preferred it over Breath of the Wild. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, down to the classics, like Zelda, just updated graphics. So looking down for that. Also looking forward to Avowed, which is done by Obsidian. Obsidian is the same company who did Outer Worlds. Yeah, who a lot of people called it Obsidian's version of Fallout. So they're now calling Avowed Obsidian's version of Skyrim because it's in a fantasy world. So you're doing magic and swords and yes. There's also like flintlock guns as well. So I was like, all right, this is fun. Because when they first released the teaser trailer like years ago and then they said nothing. It wasn't really until recently they're like, hey, trailer. Like, oh, sweet. Looking forward to that. Give me 1 second. Black Ops 6 as well. Like, I, you know, growing up, loved Call of Duty. Fell off after World War II. And only recently got back into it when they re-released Modern Warfare 3. So I was just like, all right, cool. Like I'm actually enjoying this. And then they announced like, hey, Treyarch, we're doing Black Ops 6. And here's this Omni movement thing, this new movement system that we're doing. And they're like, hey, here's all new maps. I'm like, this looks pretty good.
The Omni movement thing looks dope.
Yeah, I'm still taking it with a grain of salt, but it's cool.
Also, I know this is probably blasphemy, but I haven't played a Zelda game since like Super Nintendo days. So.
I don't know if I've ever finished a Zelda game, oddly enough.
I preferred the top-down ones. The free roam ones were good, but it just didn't feel quite right, you know?
No.
Wait, which one? What did you say? I'm sorry, Drew, what did you say there?
The top-down Zelda games where you're like looking down from the sky and you got like your little character. I like those ones better than the free roam ones.
You know what? I think I agree with that because like all the other
Yeah.
ones that are like 3D or whatever, I'm like, meh. I'm good without it.
Placing a bomb in front of a cave and having it blow up and going, do-do-do-do-do-do, that's life.
Babe, did you just call us a psycho for not liking the new Zeldas?
Yes.
I mean,
I'm good. Look,
like
it was fine. It just it felt empty.
It fell
Yeah.
in.
I hate to say it, but I never got around to playing Breath of the Wild because when I did get Breath of the Wild, I was still living in Japan and I only had two choices. I can only afford the game. I couldn't afford a Switch. So I pre-ordered Breath of the Wild because I knew just by the Nintendo Direct that it'll be like, you know, whenever I get a chance to buy a Switch, no matter where I play it, it'll be like, you know, it was region free,
You
technically.
guys are gonna think this is even more
So.
blasphemy. I owned a Switch. I gave it away because I didn't like the games on
You gave it away.
it.
Oh, well,
Well, did you at least give it
I mean, I made a
to
technical
Drew
trade
or?
for it, but I was just like, eh, I
What'd
don't
you trade it for?
a computer.
Okay.
Kingdom seemed
Like
like
a full-blown computer.
the
that's a
wild.
trade at least. Instead of just
Just,
giving it away, I'm like,
yeah,
what the
I
hell's
was
wrong
like,
with you?
I mean, if I would
It
have known
was
you back then, so could
after
you
I
give it to
knew you.
me?
We would
It
like get
was
in the car and
after
drive
I
over
knew
and pop
you
it in the
after
back
you
of the
went
head.
home
He would give it
before
to
I
me.
re-met you.
I mean, he would have given it away. I would have taken it because, like I
I
said,
don't want the computer
the
anymore.
game, I couldn't afford the Switch. I couldn't find it. The other problem was I could not afford a Switch. So I said, well, I just have the game. So when I eventually get a Switch, I'll play Breath of the Wild. Unfortunately, by the time I was able to get a Switch, my copy of the game became lost.
Yeah, the
So
guy,
never played Breath of the Wild.
the guy I
The
traded it
Japanese version,
to,
but it still would have played on a US Switch.
he was like, "Hey, I've been looking for a Switch." Like we were just talking in general, and I was like, "Oh, I've been looking for a computer." And he's like, "Well, I have a computer." And I was like, "I have a Switch with multiple games, like six or eight games or whatever it was." I was like, "But I touch it like never." And he's like, "I'll trade you that for a computer, and the computer's pretty decent." I'm like, and he was like, and a couple extra bucks. And I was like, that's a fair trade. I'll take that.
Yeah, I so I had a the Nintendo Switch, but it's technically a dad's, and then his girlfriend ended up taking it over. So I got a Switch Lite. So I figured like, okay, cool, bring it with me. I didn't realize I've barely touched the Lite. I think I prefer having the ability to put it on a big screen. But so I figured like, okay, I'll just get the OLED. I haven't gotten it yet, partly because A, it's a bit expensive. But I get it, sure. Is it gonna fuck me? Probably. But also like there's been rumors about like, oh hey, Nintendo's gonna be coming out with like a new Nintendo Switch with updated blah blah blah. So I
What
was like, do I wait or do I just get it now? Like I don't so I'm like up in the air about it.
It's like, when is it coming out? That's the question.
Exactly. Like, yeah, how long would I really have to wait?
It's like back in the day, like people would wait for like the PlayStation or the Sega Saturn, or you could have gotten the 32X. And you know, most people it's like, why should I get a 32X when I can just wait for
Saturn.
the Saturn that's going to be coming out, you know, or even PlayStation, but you know, but go sticking with the Sega, you know, you go with the Saturn, you know, since it was coming out soon anyway. So it was a waste. The 32X was a waste. Okay, I'm showing my age here, aren't I?
whatever. And then
Didn't like the whole the how you had to like get a Genesis, plug in the Sega CD, plug in the 32X. It's like, oh my
yeah,
God.
you had to have all of those to use the
connections.
32. It was stupid.
It happens. And then the other games, they released a trailer for Doom Dark A the Dark Ages. That looks dope as shit. Doom guy is in like gothic medieval sci-fi. He has a bear pelt cape.
What? Dope.
He has, like, you know, his double barrel shotgun and a shield with a fucking, like, chainsaw blade on it. They can fucking toss like Captain America.
This sounds amazing.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I was like, this is dope as shit. I want to get this. That GTA 6. And then, of course, you know, like Elder Scrolls 6, whenever that comes out.
Yeah, we could try. I mean, we got the hard backward.
I'm legit curious about that one because, you know, when I think of Doom, I just think, you know, but...
But the classic style, like, yeah, you can't look up or down. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm not into FPSs and all that stuff, all that much. But the fact that it's set in, like, a dark medieval type world and he's in it, I mean, I'm just want to know how they would have him character wise in that kind of world and the type of comments that will be coming out of his mouth.
I mean, they'll figure it out. I mean, I actually know, so I don't remember if he really talked all that much in the, like, Doom and Doom Eternal, but even if he did, it was very little anyway. But yeah, I played the original Doom. I played the original Doom, but like the newer updated Doom. Mm-hmm. Played that. That was fine. Played Doom Eternal. That was better. I honestly didn't really finish it because I just got busy with other things. But yeah, I saw that. I was like, I need to get back into Doom again. That was dope.
Yeah, Doom is a cool series. I always get, like, it's one of those series where it's too hard, but you also can't stop.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Dark Souls or anything like that, where it's like impossible sometimes, it feels like. Or at least for some players, you know, some players just, you know, you can't get past their point. Doom feels like it's possible, you're just playing it wrong.
Yeah, you just kind of have to, like, follow the patterns. It's almost like a rhythm game in a way.
Yeah. And if you don't, then you mess up, and that's on you usually. Like, I know Dark Souls is supposed to feel that way. Like, it's like, oh, if you fuck up, it's your fault too. But it doesn't feel that way sometimes. Sometimes you just feel like you're being punished for no reason.
Yeah.
Those games in that genre.
Which is why I never really got into Dark Souls. I played Elden Ring for a bit. That was easier.
Yeah.
I still have Elden Ring, and I've still yet to play it, even though I got it, like, the week it first came out. It's still on my PC. I have not played it.
I will say this. You need a guide for Elden Ring.
Yeah, you do.
You need to play with someone that's played before.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, because I was just walking around, and I was like, I don't even know where I'm going.
Yeah. Well, look, a dragon. First, like, time or two, play with someone else that has played it before, and then, like, after that, like, do your own thing, but, like, it feels like you definitely need a guide, or even if it's an online guide, but like a guide of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot to mention, similar to how they had that Ninja Turtle game, the Turtles Shredder's Revenge, that was like a retro style game. They're making a Power Rangers retro style beat 'em up game based on the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I want to play that.
Even though it wasn't into the show at all for the most part, except for Adam, because I thought he was cute and had a fangirl crush on him for the second set of Rangers. But who cares? Bottom line is, I want to play, and I still like the Power Ranger game my younger cousins had back in the day.
Right.
Even though I wasn't into the show.
Yeah, and then
I only watched the show when I was babysitting them.
Yeah, and then I can get into movies, but that's just gonna add more and more shit to it, so I'm just gonna rattle them off. Borderlands, kind of skeptical, to be honest about that, though, just because with the casting. I'll watch the Mufasa movie, that looks interesting, why not. The live action How to Train Your Dragon. Why can I not read properly? Where the fuck did it go? Lord of the Rings, War of the Rohirrim, which I think it's supposed to be an anime. I haven't, like, I've seen, like, screenshots, but I'm not sure if it's just, like, someone did the art in anime style. I'll still watch that either way. The second Joker movie.
Ooh. When is that coming out?
It says October 4th of this year.
Oh, we are going to see that.
Yeah, I'm morbidly curious at this point.
Yeah, I...
The first Joker, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, the first Joker was fine. I haven't watched it since it came out in theaters.
I've seen it about twice. Well, I saw it in theaters, then I watched it at home for someone with someone else, and then I watched it a third time with somebody. So yeah, three times.
I saw it three times. I saw it twice in theaters, and then when Johnny came to visit me, he came to visit me like literally in the last couple of days before it would be taken out, so we got to see one more time.
But yeah, so that, and then I, where the fuck did we go? I immediately lost my train of thought. Damn it. So like I watched it only one time was when I was in theaters. It's a good movie, but like, no, you leave the theater and you just kind of feel gross, like, ugh. You feel depressed.
It made you think.
I was just like, I don't know. I mean, it was good. Like, I liked it, but like, did I? So I feel like the second one's going to be the same thing. So I'll probably watch it once and then maybe not watch it for a good long while. Yeah. And then actually, yeah, that's pretty much it. I would say It Takes Two. Inside Out 2, but I already watched it. Highly recommend. It's so good. It was actually...
I need to.
Yeah, it made me cry. It was also the first time my girlfriend ever saw me cry.
Oh, gosh. Wow. That emotional, man.
Yeah. I mean, well, I say cry. Like, I was in the theater. I wasn't, like, bawling, but, like, I wanted to kind of keep it, like...
It's, you know, magnitude.
But, well, no, it's not even that. It's really just because, like, I didn't want to make a whole lot of noise in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just holding it in. But, like, it was still just, like, kind of coming out. But I wasn't making a whole lot of noise. It was fine. But, yes, yeah, such a good movie. I mean, granted, it's Pixar. Like, they barely do any wrong.
I mean, they should take the Up challenge. Who can watch the Up
the first 5 minutes?
The perfect, yeah. Who can watch that without crying? Challenge impossible.
Mm.
I know what the story is about, but I've never seen it.
Yeah.
But you've never seen Up or Inside Out?
Mm-mm.
Neither?
Mm-mm. Oh, Wendy.
What? What? Oh, my God. Okay.
I have no kids.
Ants? Point.
We'll make sure you watch on Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
And not that I don't have kids, and no, that's a bad excuse. It's just more so like I don't know, Disney and Pixar just haven't had much interest in general. I mean, I only saw Frozen because I got taken to the movie and I didn't know what Frozen was. So.
Oh my God, they are so good. I mean, like, sure, they're made for kids, but like, they are very well aware, like, hey, there are parents watching this as well. So you'll notice like things that, of course, the kids wouldn't notice as well. Pixar is very good at that, like, especially. And they hit on like emotions that will still hit a kid, but it hits worse for adults. So I'm not going to get into spoilers, but Inside Out 2, because they even tease it in the first Inside Out of like, hey, Riley, the main character. So one of the producers said she's not a main. She's not the character. She's a setting because they're in her mind.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so of course in the first one they're like towards the end they're like, hey, like she's 13, she's gonna be hitting puberty, and so Inside Out 2 is like, hey, puberty's happened, she's getting really good at like hockey because like she was really into hockey like in the first movie,
yeah,
and she's now trying to relate to high school kids to hopefully become their friends, but she's gotten new emotions of embarrassment, envy, anxiety, and ennui, which is boredom, which is what every like high schooler goes through.
Mm.
And it really gives you like an actual picture, like a visual picture of like, hey, this is giving you an idea of what's happening in your head. And not only that as well, they, like, Pixar has said they've done a lot of research, even with the first one as well. They've done a lot of research with other, like multiple psychologists and people who deal in psychology to be like, hey, this is what we're doing, and they're making sure that it's accurate.
I like that.
It's so good.
I appreciate stuff like that when they actually go out of their way to, like, research so they can have as close to accurate source material as possible for what they want to, you know, focus on. without being all superficial about it. Because I hate the stereotype, like, you know, like with the teens or like, oh, life sucks, yada, 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 as opposed to, you know, posing it in a way where it's like, the emotion is complex, the brain's still developing, the hormones are crazy, and you're just trying to figure things out.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a bunch of, like, things that makes it easily digestible for kids, of course, adults as well, but there's also adult jokes. Not adult jokes as in, like, ooh, like adult jokes, but jokes that usually most adults get because they've just had life experience.
So I was excited for this new pizza from Pizza Hut, and then I opened the box, and I'm not so excited for it anymore.
Oh.
What type is it?
Well, I'll show you.
Uh-oh. Is it the hot honey pepperoni one, or?
Oh. That's the pizza in several thousand segments.
Was that how it got to you?
Do it.
I don't quite know.
Oh, it was Spider-Man. He delivered it to you because he's swinging from building to building. You know, like Spider-Man 2, the intro.
It's done.
Yeah, I don't quite know why it's like that. I guess it's just because of the tavern style that it was listed as, I guess.
What's it called?
What's it called?
So that was supposed to be their pesto, whatever, and then I added stuff to it. So I added their new pepperoni cups and their chicken sausage, but I don't know why it's cut that way. Yeah. Another thing that I was looking forward to is Dragon Age Veilguard. We already talked about that a little bit. Oh, and yeah, Magic the Gathering Assassin's Creed. They started doing spoilers for that, and they're actually really good cards. I can't wait to play them.
Cool.
But that one, right? I'm assuming.
Probably.
Yeah, that. Probably.
Yep.
I got that, and it was in the, it's in the, I got like their pesto whatever one. It tastes good. I just ate one of them. It tastes good. I don't know what they're doing with that cut, though.
What sort of Pizza Hut?
Every piece is a different size, and I don't know what to do with that.
It's Chuck E. Cheese's. It's fine.
I'll tell you where Pizza Hut is.
Yeah, Pizza.
I can't remember offhand, but I know we've drove in past some.
All righty. Our next topic is going to be board games. I'm going to show you guys Pandemic today. Luckily, I have this board game. It's an amazing board game of a pandemic.
You know that thing that happened a couple years ago?
In fact, on this world map, there's four pandemics.
My God, we barely survived the first one.
No more pandemics.
Hello, 2020.
No, I didn't know. 2020,
the board game.
So, you pick a role to play. It might be a researcher. It might be a medic. It might be a dispatcher. And then you work together basically to cure the disease, which are these little cubes. Let me get them. They just fell down. Makes me cry. These little cubes here. There's four different colors of cubes. I'll get it later. There's yellow, black, red, and blue. And there's three ways to die. Woo. You either run out of cubes of any of the colors.
I thought there was 1,000 ways to die.
What?
I thought there was 1,000 ways to die.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
No, that's next week.
No, that's next week.
Yeah.
You run out of cards out of a deck. Basically you go around the board and then you have a couple, it's an action point game. So you have to use so many actions to do things like curing the disease and stuff, but you have cards in your hand, like these ones, you have cards. And then once you get five of one color, so like five black cards, for example, or five blue cards, then you can go to a research station and cure that disease. Once you've cured all four of them, then you win the game. There's different difficulties, And it can become pretty challenging, especially when you run into epidemics, which make it harder. Because what happens in the game is you put the little cubes down to represent that there is a disease. And if you get up to 3 cubes and you go to place another cube in there, instead an outbreak happens and it affects every neighboring city. And if that one triggers another thing with 3 of the same color cube, it triggers yet another outbreak into even more cities.
It's almost like it's viral.
Oh, God.
Can those people in those cities just keep their pants on for 5 minutes?
Oh, have you met people in the world?
Have you met people in the world? We also have a homebrew rule. This is not in the game, but we always make it a rule in our house where when you play the game, everyone around the table, because you can only play with 4 people and there's 4 diseases, right? So everyone around the table gets to name the disease. I know Panda. Go ahead. What'd you say? Named one of the diseases.
Black furry tongue disease.
What?
Black furry tongue disease.
Don't you get those at conventions?
The one time we played with black furry tongue disease, the red cubes were AIDS, and then the blue cubes were like airborne meth or something like that.
Airborne meth.
Oh, I love this. I love that.
No one would get any work done.
That sounds awesome. Airborne meth.
What was the second one?
Oh, sorry. It was AIDS. Just regular math, not airborne. That
was the third one, wasn't it? What was the second one?
AIDS.
Well, you said there was 4, right? You had the first one.
He just did 3. He didn't get to the fourth yet.
Some guy's name disease. I forget.
Oh, yeah. And yellow was some person's name disease. We don't remember the person's name.
Steve.
It was funny at the time, but I don't remember what it was. It was either an actor or something like that. Yeah, like Gary Lewis or something. Like any person that got it would just turn into that person.
I would have so much fun just making up a disease name. Before we end this segment, can everyone just make up a quick disease name?
Oh, yeah. And the last time we played, the black furry tongue disease mixed with the meth disease, and it killed us. So don't mix those two. If you see black furry tongue, don't do meth. It'll probably mess up the world. Not like it doesn't already, but but yeah, it's a lot of fun. It is a challenge. It's not like I'm gonna go in this game and expect to win. This is a game that you go in and go, shit's already hitting the fan. Let's get lucky. But it's a lot of fun. Panda, I know it's one of your favorite games.
We have to cure to get lucky.
Would you like to say some words, or at least come on camera and give you a rating of it?
I love this idea of making up those disease names. It just sounds like so much fun just for that part alone.
There is actually a disease that will give you like a black furry like fungus on your tongue.
Ooh.
So that's where I got the inspiration from for the black dice, was the furry tongue disease. And we made this joke because it did end up kind of morphing with the meth and killing us. We made this joke that people would get high off on meth and then make out and just spread the black furry tongue everywhere. They were high.
So that's how it works.
Yeah.
So pretty much you're saying that they died because they got high, because they got high, because they got high.
Exactly, yeah.
Sorry, children.
Squish, you played this game, right? You could just nod because I see you're in the middle of a bite. Yeah.
I'm just going to give it an 8 out of 10.
You give it an 8? I thought it would be higher for you, to be honest.
I've played more games recently, so it's like an 8 out of 10.
Oh, it's going down. Panda champions this game. And what I mean by that is, like, she loves this game a lot. So
she's probably the one that's, you know, setting up these pandemics.
Oh,
she already got the cure somewhere.
Drew said he played it once.
I'm going to rate it ironically, also an 8 out of 10. It is really good, but there's times where it's just like, I don't want to deal with that much thinking, because like, if you don't think like 3 turns ahead, you kind of die a lot. And like, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to think 3 turns ahead today. No thanks. It's a good game, but like, it's one you got to think about. And Squish, what do you rate it?
Feelings. I would say it's about a 6 for me.
A 6 for you. So barely playable.
Barely playable is like a 4.
Oh,
okay. Oh, Drew, I just checked that Tavern Pizza is supposed to be cut into squares.
Yeah, it is.
That is like on purpose.
Alrighty. In that case, well, that was Pandemic. That's made by designers Matt Leacock. The publisher is Z-Man Games. Like I said, I really like it. I want to get Panda into the legacy version, where basically when you make a decision, that decision stays permanently in the game. So I want to get us that at some point. But yeah, Z-Man Games makes a great game here, and we're going to move on to...
Just a quick question, Polk. How long would you think, would you kind of wager a session would go?
What, tonight?
No, I'm just saying a play session of Pandemic. Like, how long?
Honestly, to be honest, if you're really good at the game, probably about 30 minutes. If you're playing with new people, the box says 45 minutes. That's about accurate. About 45 minutes, maybe an hour if you're brand new.
How many players?
You haven't played in a while. It's pretty short, actually. Yeah. True. But yeah, if you do it with like 4 people that have like played the game like 10 times, you could probably do it in like 30 minutes. That is, if no one gets like burnout. Because, like, people get burnout. Like, they think too hard, and they're like, oh, I can't think of what I want to do. And they just sit there for, like, 10 minutes trying to think of what to do. I'm like, just make a decision.
It's like, oh, I give up. Boom. Everybody in the world dies.
Or that.
But, yeah. It's a fun game. I love it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to move on to the next topic. Well, like I said, I think we're just going to, you know what, let's do this.
So I just
I'm going to keep the last topic with...
I just want to come in here for just a second. This, the pizza, isn't half bad. I don't know what they were doing with the cuts. Like I said, they're all different sizes, but the flavor's good. Y'all should try it.
Well, the thing is the pizza still round?
The whole pizza is round, but like it's cut into weird slices, so you'll get like diagonal pieces.
Because I saw the thing, the tavern is cut into squares, but the problem is that works. They usually works best when the pizza itself is square or rectangular, like our good old JoJo's pizza. But if it's a circular pizza, I mean, you're gonna end up with weird sizes if they cut it in squares anyway. You know, it's the whole all these squares make a circle. All these squares make a circle. You know,
my geometry teacher would disagree with that.
I recommend the spicy sauce instead of the sweet sauce it comes with, though.
Spicy sausage, you say?
The next topic for tonight is going to be Magic the Gathering Commander. I don't want anyone, just so you know, just don't go too deep. We're just going to talk about Commander as a whole, what you feel about it, if you play it, if you don't play it, how you feel about Magic, that kind of thing. But I used to play basically anything in Commander. I played a little bit of Standard. I played Draft. I played Limited. I've played Commander. But really, the only thing I play nowadays is Commander. I'll play a Draft or a Limited format occasionally, like, you know, where someone has a pre-made deck with, like, all the, like, super old, super powerful cards for a Limited. But 99% of the time, I'm only playing Commander. That's the format for me. I love it. It's 100 card singleton format, means you can only have one copy of every card in your deck, and it has to be of only specific colors of whatever your commander is. Personally, it's my favorite. It just don't expect me to keep up with the game anymore. Because it's like, it's so expensive.
They introduce so many new cards so quickly.
I just can't. The cost of Magic. Okay, just for example, they've come out with, I took a break from playing, not break, but I stopped playing Magic in like the last month or two. And they've come out with two Commander sets since then, which means four decks each. So that's eight decks. That's about approximately $200. I could buy one, if not up to like 10 board games with that, depending on the board game. I can either buy a really nice with miniatures, sometimes painted, really nice components and everything like that. Or I could buy like some other ones that are smaller, have a little bit less to them, but I have a whole bunch of variety. It's just like, I'd love to buy all those cards, but the amount of stuff they're coming out with and everything like that is like, I'm just going to play it online for free. I'd rather do that. It's cheaper.
It's, I do like all the attention that the format as a whole is getting.
But I agree.
I also don't like the extent of how far they took it. There's like we were talking about in our last podcast, one of the questions that came up is Modern Horizons 3 actually Commander Horizons? And I in that podcast, I think I remember saying that I felt that it wasn't, but there still are a lot of things that have Commander in mind, you know? And with that, like, if you build a certain set to be for a certain format, it should be for that format, you know? You should make your packs maybe four copies of the one card that's in there. You know what I mean? I feel like if they would make, like, modern packs where you get four copies of the card for your deck in one pack, that would make it better because as it sits, Commander is the only format where you can, where you need one of each card. Everything else needs four. So when you get one copy of something in a pack, you're like, woohoo, I got that $80 card. Now I just need three more. Like, you know, but Commander is a wonderful format to get into. I've played nearly every format there is to play, except for competitive Commander, known as CEDH. I recently got into that and built a CEDH deck to play. I feel like there's a big difference between Commander and competitive Commander. They're very different games. I like Commander in general over, say, Modern or Legacy or Standard because it doesn't rotate. You only need one copy of a card. Your deck is based around getting one specific card that you'll always have at your disposal. So you don't have to go digging for whatever it is you want, you know? But, yeah.
What about you, Titus?
I mean, not knowing too much about Magic. In fact, before we started this session, I was telling Poke that I had, for Father's Day, I had played Magic the Gathering because my dad grew up with it, and he has a fuck ton of cards. And he's aware that there is like a new version of play, but he didn't know that. And so we just kind of played the way he had learned, which was like decks about like that fucking thick. And he already had like his own pre-made decks. So, I mean, there was a black and blue, white and green, green, red, whatever. And it was fun. He beat my ass most of the time. It's fine. although like he's willing to learn like the new version. In fact, he actually, honestly, for Christmas, he got me basically like a Commander starter pack. So I have like a pack or two that's a full Commander deck and everything. I just haven't touched it. And I kind of feel a little bit bad, but like, because of the fact that like, hey, for Father's Day, we played the original, I kind of want to get back into it. When I say back into it, I want to get into it a bit more because before Father's Day, I played two, three times over like 10, 15 years or so. So like every time we played, it was basically just like, wait, what does this do? How does that work? I had to relearn. That's just our fault because we didn't play a whole lot. In fact, actually, I I've heard that Magic the Gathering, like the company that Wizards of the Coast, they have a Magic the Gathering like app. So I've downloaded that and haven't played it just yet, just because I've been busy with other things. I kind of want to actually like sit down and actually, all right, like let's go through the tutorial and learn, go over everything first.
And I will say this to anybody that's getting into Magic, because you brought up the apps, I have to say this. Anybody who is new to Magic, I encourage you to download the Magic the Gathering Arena app. However, please keep in mind, especially if you're going to play Commander or whatever other format that's close to Commander on the app, that some of the rules, due to technology reasons,
Are
are not
changed.
correct for actual Magic. It's only correct for Arena.
Which makes sense.
Samples.
One
A
of
lot
which is
of the
like
parts that are
sacrificing
in
rules.
Arena will have like an A symbol on it, which means that it's been altered or is only found in Arena. For example, Winota Joiner of Forces is not the same as the Arena Winota Joiner of Forces. Boom.
Also, sacrificing rules are completely different in actual Magic versus Arena. I'm just saying that as a differential. Just because, like, in actual Magic, like, that stuff can go for it. Like, there's a lot of rules to go with it, and it can almost go infinitely, which the system can't calculate. So they don't put it in, and they just go, it sacrifices once, and then, this is how it rolls every time, which is like, whenever, because I've had someone come up to me later on and been like, isn't it like this way? And I'm like, you played Arena, didn't you? They're like, yeah, well, how'd you know? I'm like, because that's not how the rule works.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, granted, like, as you said, like, yeah, the computer can't really calculate that. I mean, it's the same thing when Baldur's Gate 3 came out. They used the fifth edition rules of D&D, but of course they had to change it because video game purposes.
Yep. I
Have a
Like, we can
question.
only do so much. Go ahead.
I have a question. So if you download the app, you can still play the games, but like you said, that the app version of the game will be have just different rules to how you would play it if you were just playing like your actual tabletop style
Yep.
with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Slightly, but yes.
Okay,
And it
and
doesn't have
all the cards. My biggest gripe personally with Arena is it doesn't have all the cards. And I know the reason why, they can only have so much space, oh, so many rules, etc. But they don't have all the cards since the beginning of the game. And again, I play Commander. So if I want to play Commander, I want to play with all the cards. So it
They're
is.
getting better with getting a lot of the staple cards back in there, which is
Yeah.
good. But like then they mark them up as a premium to get them. So it's just like, what's the point whenever I have to pay extra just to have a chance at getting this card,
Yeah, and it's
Or I
not
have to buy
always,
a special
yeah.
bundle that's more expensive.
Okay, I have another question then, going back to Magic the Gathering. Okay, so since you mentioned the app and everything, and I'm pretty sure like it is always going to be much better to play in person with other people and physically having the cards in front of you and the die and all that stuff. Now, if someone is like a beginner, as you were saying, if you have the app, you said they have the arena rules is different from the real thing. Would you recommend a beginner to use the app just to get the basics in before doing the real thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good starting point because not all the rules are completely like blown out of the water or whatever. They're just slightly tweaked for the game engine to be able to handle, like Titus said earlier.
Okay.
So it's not that it's completely incompatible. And I would recommend that people start on Arena so they can get a feel for how most of the mechanics work. But there's a lot of things that people need to look at whenever they're coming off of Arena. Like if they're going to paper and someone's like, that's not really how that works. Ask your judge. When you're at these tournaments in real life, ask your judge. Your judge will know how the card works and how the effect works,
Now for competitions, okay, now this is my other question, especially hearing about Commander. Now when you have the competitions for these card for some of these card games, I'm not thinking about like Pokemon offhand, but for stuff like Magic the Gathering, is it like more so like just whoever wins the game, or is it more so like who does it the fastest?
So it's more based on who wins the game, but in Commander, there's like a generalized concept that as long as you have fun, there's not real, it doesn't really matter who wins, you know? But for tournament play, yes, it's whoever can drop the life total to zero the fastest. In Swiss, which is a specific type of tournament that is the most often found, you'll go for so long based on a timer. And if that timer hits zero, then you have X amount of turns to beat each other. If you don't, it's marked as a tie.
Okay. Yeah, that's something I always wondered, how you do card games in a tournament and how they determine who's the, you know, the better player. But I just assume, like, you know, like within the time, you know, sort of like when you have like competitive chess, it's like, okay, who can, like, you know, do the moves the fastest and you know, and I'm actually, you know, I'm checkmate the opponent the fastest and those things. Gee, I can't, my brain could not work in that kind of way with chess.
Unfortunately, the timer for Magic is not based on single player turns. Now, you can get flagged for slow play. Like if you're if you're trying to take more time than is needed, you can get flagged for slow play. But for the most part, it's just a communal timer. So like you have 50 minutes to complete your 3 matches of Magic, you know?
You also don't have to play tournaments. You can just play casually and not have to worry about that.
Oh, of course, of course.
Yeah.
As far as tourneys go and competitive style, that's what I was really, really curious about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we already know that. I'm not a very competitive person, so even if I did try to play Magic the Gathering, I became a good player at it, I would not go to competition, because I'd be like in Pandemic with Punk was saying, just make a move already. I'm the type I'd be sitting there and be thinking, wait,
Yeah. Most of the time when you get to the competitive level, your opponent is going to know every card in their deck, and they're going to know, like, how to play it in the most efficient way. So you don't normally get slow play very often. Most people know what they want to do or formulate what they're going to do on their opponent's turn, you know? It can happen. You can have somebody taking forever, but most of the time they already know what they want to do, you know?
Yeah, Magic is super complicated, because even when I was playing with Dad, I mean, like, it's, I feel like it's also just of, like, how the cards are written, as far as, like, what they do or what happens if, like, this action is triggered.
One comma can make all the difference.
Yeah, so, like, so there was one, the card I got was called Guerrilla Tactics. You do 2 damage to the player. If they use a card that basically discards Guerrilla Tactics, they take 4 damage, which is initially what I thought happened. But the card that he had, which is actually one of the double cards, because I guess for a while Magic had, like, on a singular card, they could just kind of basically cut it in half.
Cards,
yeah, it had 2 different cards. One of them was, oh no, it counteracts, like counterspells, basically, like the thing that you're trying to do. And so I was like, okay, well, you take 4 damage. And he's like, no. And he had to reread it. It was because of the wording of my card versus his that it technically didn't count. So I didn't actually even do any damage to him. He just, the card was null and void, basically, like when I put it out.
So just, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, that was pretty, it's just the weird word of, like, all right, like, what is, like, just, you know, I mean, granted, like, it's just like, oh, does it go back in your hand? Does it go into, like, a graveyard to sacrifice? Or is it just destroyed altogether? And sometimes they're usually pretty uniform, at least the few games that I've played. But sometimes it's kind of vague to where it could be this, it really could be that. It
depends on the card, yeah. Some of them will present it as the card was never cast in the first place. Some of them will say, like, it doesn't have a legal target, so it fizzles. Like, you play it and it just doesn't do anything. Other times it'll, like, end up, like, taking full effect. It just depends on what the board state is like at the time. And so if you go to counter something, right, and they bounce it to their hand, your counter spell still goes off, but it has nothing to target, you know? So it just goes straight to the graveyard instead of going back to your hand.
So it would just been a wasted card, pretty much.
Right. Because the target that you were attempting to hit is no longer valid.
Yeah, and then not only that, it's also a lot of math, Because I mean, not because so each round, I guess if you want to call it like a round, you put down a land if you have a land, which is basically the mana that you're using, like your little spell points. Of course, each card has a thing at the corner saying like, hey, use one green mana or one black, one red, and two random others. So it'll just have the number two on it. So just like two other whatever mana that you have, and use that. And
So,
so,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
oh, no, you're fine. No, you're fine. No, so you'd be like, okay, cool. So like one of the decks I played was a black mana and a black and red mana like deck. So some of the cards would be like, all right, cool. Like you need two red and then one black and then two of whatever else, which could be black or red, or if you end up did playing like blue, yellow, green, whatever. So it just kind of ends, you end up having like different types of mana, like mana colors that you have to keep track of that are in the same mana pool. And that, and also one of the games that I ended up playing, like I think it was the first one, I had a green and I want to say like a red or like a white deck. I don't remember. But I ended up having, granted, just scores of like how I ended up drawing the cards. I had so much mana and not really a whole lot to do with it. So I had like a bunch of green. I had a few other cards that were like, oh, hey, if you tap this one, then you gain an extra either like a random or like whatever mana color you choose or a specific mana color. And you can also do an enchantment on your land. So when you tap it, you get an extra color land. So you're like, there's so much going on, like math-wise in your head. Like I feel like I had to keep a tracker on hand if need. Like I feel like I needed to have like a fucking notepad and paper just so I can
Some
make sure like,
people
hey, what the fuck do
do.
I have?
Yeah, I'm pretty
Don't
sure
go
I
on vacation
would.
like that.
I definitely would have paper on a pencil on hand for something like that. But that's a lot of math there.
Exactly,
You
which
gotta
is
do
yeah,
it
which is
fast too.
exactly, which is why I was initially like, oh yeah, cool, there's an app, because it just that because it does all that math for you, so it makes it a little bit easier. So
See,
it just makes it a little more streamlined.
and that's why I was curious about the competitive aspect though earlier too, because of how Poké was saying, like, you're the real thing, you might need some paper, to keep score, to keep the points, in order, and to know like how many points you have left to play or for your opponent. So yeah, I was really kind of curious about that too. Now I do have one more question. So, and I don't remember if we mentioned this last time or you guys mentioned it. Now for beginners and those who are beginning to get into the game or interested in playing any of them, and I'll just stick with Magic the Gathering because it is so well known. What would you recommend them buying as far as packs go, if they're to play in person and not using the app?
Don't buy packs. So if you're trying to get into Magic, you don't want to buy packs because packs have random cards in it and it's not going to give you a full deck to play. So if you're interested in playing Commander, they do have pre-built commanders that come out all the time, too many. If you're looking to play any other format other than maybe Legacy or Vintage, Magic the Gathering Arena can allow for that. They used to have something called a deck builder toolkit. Now this came with like 20 of each kind of land and then like various packs from the current sets, but it was enough cards to build a deck. I'll buy one that's not great, but you could still build a deck with it. I don't know if the deck builder toolkits are still around, but yeah, the Commander decks and Magic the Gathering Arena, and the toolkits for lands if you need lands.
Okay. I'm sure there's a lot of people that might be interested in, getting into it. Really, that's some good info for them to have, because, the automatic assumption for someone that's not really, privy to card games in general is like,
It's
yeah,
intimidating.
buy a pack and like see and try to play, then you learn that, hey, some of these cards are worthless.
Don't make it very accessible, in my opinion. I
Yeah.
wish they would bring like, not maybe like the meta, but like something that can compete in pre-made format so you know how the mechanics work. They started to do that with Standard for a little while. They had like these standard intro decks. Like there was a Chandra one that was fairly competitive, but they stopped doing that because they started going for like these gimmicks, like the Assassin's Creed thing I just mentioned. It's nice that they're doing Assassin's Creed. I love the cards, but they're more focused on how many deals can I make with other companies rather than how do I get people interested in my card game in the first place.
Capitalism.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, actually, I was kind of, well, I'm not I'm gonna get into it, but I mean, just because like I know there's, I mean, of course, yeah, there's regular like Magic the Gathering like lore with all of their worlds and everything,
Yeah.
but I know they've also come out with, I didn't even know they came out with an Assassin's Creed one. I know they came out with like a Fallout one, which I thought was interesting, considering Fallout's sci-fi. But also they came out with a Legend of Vox Machina if you're into that, so like a D&D world. But also Lord of the Rings. And the only reason I know about the Lord of the Rings one is because they had a card, a legendary card of the One Ring. And I think Post Malone ended up buying
Post
it for
Malone
like,
got the
yeah, he bought it for like $9 or $10 million or something, like some stupid number. I'm like, what the fuck?
but that's what I'm saying though. Like they're obsessed with these gimmicks. Like I made the One Ring. There's thousands of copies, but there's only one card that's marked as the one for the One Ring.
Yeah, and it's
They
an
did that on
Elvish.
purpose so people would go
One,
nuts for it, you know? And that
yeah.
card's hundreds of thousands of dollars because it's got a one on it, you know? But
Yeah.
yeah, I think Magic needs to go back to making semi-competitive starter decks for people to start playing with. Like, for example, if Wendy wanted to play right now, she wouldn't know where to start, you know? So
I still barely know where to start.
if I gave you guys like a competitive deck to start with, that could keep up, not necessarily dominate, but just keep up, like I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of, and I don't remember if I mentioned this last podcast, is that like I've, and Grant, I'd also mentioned to someone, like at least in my head, especially even before like really getting into it, even then I'm not really fully into it just yet, is that I, just to kind of get a better grasp of an understanding, I compared at the very least Commander to Hearthstone, because that's at least how it was kind of described. Not specifically, it's like, oh, it's like Hearthstone, like someone told me that. It's just when someone said like, oh, there's like one commander, like your like main dude, and then you have all their minions and then spells and whatever else, and then of course the land for mana.
Right.
So I was like, okay, that sounds like, just trying to connect it in my head, that sounds similar to Hearthstone, because you have like your main like dude character, whatever. And then you have, yeah, you create their deck and you have their all of their little minions and spells and shit like that. So I was like, yeah, the only difference is that with Hearthstone, you don't get mana cards. You just have like a little mana that you go one up each round until you get to like 10, I think.
I like Hearthstone for like their dusting system where if you have more copies of a card than you need, you can turn it into like little particles that you can use to make cards that you actually want. I like that. I also like the fact that you can't really mess with the mana too much. You get a fixed amount.
Yeah, you have like 10.
And then also with Hearthstone, one thing that I don't like about it as compared to something like Magic is after a set has done with its big bang and its charade and its highlight, they'll nerf the cards that were in that set. So you'll have to buy the new cards that are more powerful. And in reality, they're not more powerful. They're just as powerful as the last set, but the last set got nerfed, you know?
Right. Yeah, oh yeah, and that's the other thing as well, like with Hearthstone, I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure if they've changed it, but it's digital only. Like, so there's no physical cards, anything like that. You have to do it on your iPad, your computer, your
There's a
whatever.
lot of randomizer engines in there too, which is good and bad because it'll give you, most of the time it'll give you current cards. But if you're trying to hit something like Ragnos the Fire Lord, it's not going to happen because that was from like 10 sets ago, you know?
Right. Yeah. In fact, actually, my dad's girlfriend, she like, oh, when I was explaining like, oh, like there's so many like different things you have to learn and this and the other, it's kind of difficult. And she's like, well, it can't be that difficult because, well, you know, 12-year-olds play this game, and I know because her brother, well, at the time was 12 years old learning to play the game. But I was like, yeah, I mean, I get it. Sure, yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, you take enough time, you can learn it. But then she was like, no, it's kind of like D&D. And I was just kind of thinking, I was like, can't fully say no to that. Because, I mean, in a way, it is like, yeah, you have to learn like all these terms and like like, yeah, you play like this class and like you're in your race, or now what they're calling species. And, like, okay, they all do like these certain things. You have to see like what matches and this, that, and the other. I'm like you're making a point. Like, no, but yes at the same time. And I feel like no, purely honestly, I think just because of the fact that I've done D&D more. So for me, it's simple and it's understandable instead of magic, where it's where I don't know all that much. So to me, it's just like uncharted territory.
Magic has come up with so many unique effects per card these days that it's just blocks of text instead of keywords. Like a keyword, they can put a definition of what the keyword does. But with so much uniqueness in every card, they just need a paragraph to explain each card, which it's just a design change that they've had in the past couple of years. I don't love it. I don't hate it, but it definitely makes it harder for new people to get into the game because the same effect doesn't happen on repeat. Every card is different, you know?
Yeah, which I think it's actually kind of ties into what I said earlier of like, oh, I have this card that does this. And he was like, no. And I was like,
Right.
oh, you take more damage. No, I don't. What do you mean?
Because back in earlier Magic, you had what they called keywords, which they would recycle on repeat. Granted, they give you new keywords all the time. They give about two per set. But trample always meant trample. It always did the same thing. Everybody knew what trample meant. Flying, everybody knew what flying meant. It came through every time. And they would reuse these keywords on the cards so people knew what they did. Nowadays, everything's just a block of text where each card is different information per card. And so you're like, okay, well, I read the first part of this. This does this. And then someone will counter the second part. And you're just like, now what? You know?
Oh, and that, yeah, and that was another thing as well. And again, it might just be the fact that, like, I'm still kind of starting, so I don't really know really what a lot of most of the cards, 99% of the cards do, unless I'm actually reading it in my own hand. But they're like, I had a card that I think was like, oh, you just, it basically just deters that one away. Like, you put it back in hand or just destroys it entirely. And I was trying to, like, I was looking at dad's cards just to kind of see, like, well, what the fuck do I do? But then I, And so I picked one. I picked the wrong one. What I should have done, if I had known, is that I should have done his other creature because it had the unstoppable, or like unblockable, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Basically, to where they just kept going, like just kind of picking at your health. And so I should have gone for that, but I forgot because we were doing trying to calculate so much, so many other things, and I was just like, that one wrong. At least wrong for me in the fact that like I could have done better. But that's what I like about D&D is that yeah, everything is pretty uniform. There's not a whole lot of like new shit unless they add like new spells. But even then with the new spells, it's the one thing that it does. And they do give you like a good description of like, hey, this is what it's good for. And you know what fire damage is or ice damage. Or it tells you like, oh, like you're charming this person. Okay, they're charmed. They are incapacitated and paralyzed. What is that? Okay, you know what the fuck that is. It's not like it's up to the card's description to tell you in its own words what paralyzed is.
Right, so folks can step away for a moment. So we're going to just turn this over to Drew, and he's going to talk about the Pokemon Safari Zone for the Sinnoh region.
Yes. So throughout the years, there's been a couple of different kinds of Safari Zone for the game of Pokemon. Last week, we were talking about the Johto region and their Poképothlon. This week, we're going to talk about the Safari Zone, specifically the Sinnoh one. So back when the games of Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum first came out, they had a topic called the Safari Zone, where you could go in and use these special kinds of Pokeballs called the Safari Balls to try and catch the Pokemon that were in different areas. And these Pokemon varied from area to area. And you had the option to throw mud, give them a treat, or throw the Safari Ball. the mud made them kind of angry at you, and they would stick around a little bit more to beat on you, I guess. Whereas the treat did the opposite. The treat made them happy, but more likely to leave. So you had to kind of balance between making them angry and making them like you enough so that your Pokeball was the most effective. When you had a certain time limit to catch as many as you could, you got a score based on what you caught and how. And if you ran out of Safari Balls, that cut your time short. Part of what made it difficult was you also had a step counter. You can only take so many steps. So what they did was they put a train system in them that take you to the further zones. After you get the national Pokédex, the Pokemon in each area also changed. So you could get Pokemon from other regions as well. I kind of like that feature. The Safari Zone did evolve a lot after the Sinnoh region. So there is different kinds for different ones, some of which you had to have like real life friends for, you know, hard things to come by. But I like the Sinnoh one a lot because you could get stuck in the mud for a little while and you had to like spin your character around to try and get out of the mud. And then you had like these little Pokeballs that you could pick up on the ground. It was just a fun concept in general. I actually like the concept that you could throw mud at Pokemon. So if they were just making you mad, just splat.
Imagine doing that to a red Gyarados.
Yes.
Yep. Eat shit.
What was always the most infuriating about this is a mechanic known as shiny Pokemon. So these are a very rare instance, one in like 8,000 to show up at the time. And if you saw one in the Safari Zone, you had to be careful with how much mud you threw, you know, because if it ran away, you're not going to find another one. This is typically just a rare coloring of a Pokemon, but they were hard to come by and very valued by people who were trading Pokemon around the world, you know. But I rather like the Sinnoh version of the Safari Zone. Like I said, it did evolve in the later and earlier versions. Like one of them, you have to have friends for to get like a fairy version of Safari Zone. That was in like Pokemon X and Y. Some of the older versions of Safari Zone didn't have like a step counter.
You know, I'm just trying to remember since you mentioned that. I'm trying to remember I even bothered with the Safari Zone in X.
Yeah,
it was in Diamond and Pearl, but I don't remember that. Now, one question, did they ever make a new, you know how they got like Pokemon, but Blue and Red, and then made like Leaf, what, you know, they made new versions of
Fire Red, Leaf Green, yeah, all that stuff.
Thank you. Did they ever make an updated version of Diamond and Pearl or something?
So they did make an updated version of Diamond and Pearl. They called it Shining Pearl and Brilliant Diamond, I believe. They didn't have a Platinum version, though.
More for like, what do you call it, for the Switch or whatever, or
yeah, for the Switch, yep. And they introduced a concept called the Grand Underground. I'll probably talk about that some other time. But it was more or less the same game, but chibi-fied, if you know what chibis are.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. So I looked up real quick. It's Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Thanks.
They also had the concept of the Safari Zone in the newer version, but it was slightly altered. There wasn't as many steps in there, and they removed the step counter. So it was just based on time and the mud and treats that you threw, rather than having a step counter as well. So the train was utterly useless in the newer one, but it is what it is.
I'm just jumping back a bit for Gen 1. The Gen 1 did have the step counter, didn't it?
For the Safari Zone in Generation 1. I don't think there was a Safari Zone in Generation 1.
Yeah, it was. It was, because that's where you can get, like, Dratini and stuff. Like, put red and blue and stuff. Yeah, there was a Safari Zone in there. And actually, one of the things you had to do in there was find the teeth of the warden.
I don't remember that one, to be honest. I'll have to replay that game.
Yeah, that was one of the things in there.
The warden's teeth, like his sensors?
She had to find a danger that was in the safari zone.
Maybe, what's this? Maybe Danhausen had him.
It was so silly, but like I said, like that's where you get like Pokemon like Dratini from what I, a little bit I remember, but yeah, because I was going to ask you what Pokemon were exclusive in the Diamond and Pearl Safari Zone that you couldn't get in other, you know, outside of there offhand.
So there's actually quite a few that were locked to the Safari Zone. Tropius comes to mind, which was like a green dinosaur like Pokemon with like bananas growing out of his chin. I don't remember exactly if Krogunk was locked to the Safari Zone. I know he was in there, but I don't know if he was locked to the Safari Zone. Most of the exclusive Pokemon came after you got the National Dex. If you give me a moment, I can pull up the exact list. Hold on 1 second.
So he had bananas coming out of his chin?
This list is actually quite extensive. So I'm not going to go into the whole list. But in the remakes of the game, you could get things like Shroomish and Barboach and Tropius inside there. Kecleon could also be acquired through there. But it was through... It wasn't exclusive to there. You could get it from Cow Park as well.
There we go. Any thoughts on it, Titus, on just in general, Sinnoh region? Nope.
Not really. granted, because as I said, like in the last podcast as well, my only really Pokemon experience is watching the TV show and then Pokemon Go when that came out for a little bit.
Yeah.
Honestly, when you were explaining this, I thought it was a new thing, but then you said, oh, this new thing called the shiny Pokemon. I was like, that's been out for a while. I don't know that much.
Well, it's interesting to know that that's where those shiny Pokemon came from. I heard of them, but like I said, I didn't really play Diamond or Pearl or Platinum, really. I just wasn't interested in it, in the Diamond game. But like I said, it was Gen 5 that brought me back.
I think Platinum was definitely the best because it had all the features from Diamond and or Pearl, but it also gave you some exclusive things, like the mansion at the end of the game, where you could buy collectibles and put them in the house. But yeah, I liked Platinum.
Actually, before I left for Japan, I was planning on picking up Platinum before I left for my DS, but I never got around to it. I just didn't. And I just went over there without it, but I got Heart Gold instead. So
yeah. So as previously mentioned, guys, stuff happened with Poke there, and we're going to cut it short there. So there we go.
Bye, everybody.
All right. See y'all next time.
Peace out.
Yep. Catch you next episode, guys.
Bye, guys.
Don't die.
Don't die.